It would be infinitely lonely to live in a world without blessing. The word blessing evokes a sense of warmth and protection. It suggests that no life is alone or unreachable. When suffering, chaos, or challenge befall us, we stand before crucial thresholds in our lives. We need rituals to protect, encourage, and guide us as we cross over into the unknown. John O'Donohue, a beloved theologian, poet, and teacher, compels us to find new words that will invoke a blessing of loving kindness for our new journey. These blessings are gifts that attempt to offer helpful pathways of how to be present through the new and unknown journey.
It's so good to be in this warm and caring community and see old friends again. I'm just very happy to be here with you. I'm going to speak about passages of our lives and the question, why celebrate them in a sacred manner? And as individuals and as members of community, we pass through many transitions in our lifetime. These transitions shape our directions. Like an intricate map, they inform our story, our memory. They become a portal opening to the future. So why celebrate them in sacred ceremony? I ask you this question because all too often we don't. We overlook them, we ride them through without recognizing their impact, without arranging or feeling the need to have supporters along the way, nor the sacredness of the threshold. So this hour can be a time for each of us to pause, to breathe, and examine the gifts, the unravelings, the pain and wonder and gratitude that make up the tapestry of all of our lives. I have hope that during the meditation time you were able to connect to a current and personal transition, either now or then, or coming up in the future. So let us take the time to acknowledge how we are touched and changed. I want to tell you the importance of ceremonies and what they do. I'll suggest some of the variety of ceremonies that can mark passages of our ordinary lives and ways that a lay chaplain can help to co-create with you and lead ceremonies. Transition. Whenever we are in transition, there are endings and the experience of loss. There's a middle ground where nothing is clear. And then the building up of a foundation of new beginnings. There are also shifts in our very identity and in the roles we play and in the perceptions of ourselves and the perceptions by others. Shifts like single to partnered or married, widowed or separated and bereaved, from being partners to one another to becoming parents as the children come along, a promotion, a graduation, or a loss, employed to retire, and as I heard so movingly in the candles of celebration and concern, healthy to ill and sometimes back again. During these times, the ground we count on shifts under our feet, and in the liminal space of the transition, the unknown can bring anxiety. Is this too loud? No. Liminal, from the Latin word limen, means threshold. A liminal state brings ambiguity with it, and openness, and uncertainty. There is some dissolving of identity, bringing about disorientation and stress, often loneliness. Liminality is a period of transition where normal limits to and the containers to box in our thoughts, our self-understanding, and our behaviors are now relaxed, a situation that can lead to new and creative perspectives. And I thank Shoshana Wiley for this wisdom. So what does ceremony actually do, and what's it for? A ceremony creates a safe and loving container to make sacred the turning point. Ceremony acknowledges the threshold and blesses us at its cusp. Love, witness, and support accompany us through it and support a shifting identity as we move into a world of newness. A ceremony opens the heart and mind among, and this is key, among loving witnesses. And it makes it possible to let go, and it shows a path into the next curve of the life cycle. Sacred time and space open up spiritual connections, and I'm thinking of Karen's moving dance, which showed us the wheel of the life cycle. Where was I? Sacred time and space open up spiritual connections. One story, I once held a wedding for a couple who'd been sweethearts when young, had married other people, and now at last were declaring their vows to one another. The woman's lineage was Gitxsan Nation, and she'd been gifted by some soft and ancient cedar bark passed down through the matrilineal line for generations. Her 10-year-old son proudly carried up the wedding bands, nestled in this cedar bark in an abalone shell, and suddenly I was transported. All the ancestors were with us, blessing the match. In ceremony, we are affirmed that we are not alone, especially critical during bereavement. Our people are with us along the path. Vows enhance the power of ceremony. Carolyn McDade says, for our lives to hold meaning, we must vow. I say this because I didn't know it. Not having had a wedding or married, I didn't know the power of vowing until I held my newborn baby girl in my arms, and in a very visceral and unconscious way, I vowed to love and protect her. That's 38 years ago. We vow to the beloved. We vow to the children, to the bereaved, to our authentic selves, to the new beginning. I was asked to marry a separated lesbian couple, as one of the partners was terminally ill. They were reuniting so that the sick partner and their 13-year-old son were cared for. The ceremony took place in their living room on 3 days' notice. Together, we created a ceremony that not only affirmed the couple's enduring relationship, but also charged the circle of friends and godparents to support the boy and the family all the way through. The witnesses lit candles for one another and in circle vowed their vows of dedication and support. And the boy flung himself into his godfather's arms, opened his heart, and wept. And then comes the blessing. We declare the new identity. We celebrate the transformation that has taken place. There are greetings, there are hugs, there's feasting to ground ourselves, and storytelling, and perhaps dancing with family and friends. We enact the continuity of our lives and our loves. It moves us into the memories. And at this point, I want to expand our notions of transition beyond weddings and memorials and open up new possibility for ceremonies that can mark our changes. How about a ceremony to embrace a blending family? A teen's first job, the loss of a beloved pet, becoming a grandparent, freedom from addictions, a coming of age, ending a relationship, ending chemotherapy, retirement, the loss of independence that comes with aging, the loss of an unborn child, or blessing a new home. Here's another story. This time, I was approached by a woman who had been spiritually abused as a teenager by her bishop. She had grown up in a rural, isolated area on the island. She wanted a ceremony to expunge the legacy of abuse that had paralyzed her for years, despite therapy and despite legal action. We reframed and named her ceremony as emerging rather than expunging. And together we created a three-part ceremony in Pacific Spirit Park out at UBC, which is her place of healing. Endings, symbolically freeing her bound hands and voice, burning her letters that gave voice to the secret, transforming the pain into a fine ash, and then taking the ashes with us and building a cairn to honor her struggle and those of others who had been affected. Then we moved to a huge cedar overlooking the water to declare her independence, accompanied by her symbols of sacred power, raven, ocean, and cedar. What moved me the most was that a family estrangement even healed during this process. We can celebrate anything, and I'm so touched to hear that Ralph Greer is to be celebrated next week. Now, what do Unitarian lay chaplains do? I have recently retired a couple of months ago now, after extending my time, 7.5 years of service. And altogether, I performed 175 services. Boing! Anyone can plan and perform a ceremony, except for weddings, which here in Canada require licensed officiants. However, lay chaplains are trained and skilled in the co-creation of personal and meaningful ceremonies that mark life passages. Your minister, Katie, serves the congregation, and lay chaplains serve the broader community and bring our UU spirituality, our respect for diversity, and our faith out there into the world. Unitarian lay chaplains meet people during important transitions in times of joy and stress and possibly grief. We mark and create ceremonies that celebrate pivotal turning points in the wheel of life. And what a privilege this is and has been for me. Privilege to connect with people at these moments and to glimpse their lives, their transformations, and to guide and create and perform ceremonies, both traditional and alternative. We are lay people, not ministers. We do not take on, nor do we accept a minister's role. We do not counsel. We do focus on sacred ceremonies, and this service brings peace and beauty to those in transition, as well as their witnesses, their communities. The ceremony now will enter the story and the memory of the family and community. In ceremony, we mark and anchor meaning. And what a splendid way this is to express our loving spirits. Blessed be.
I'm here to invite you not only to consider becoming part of the Lay Chaplaincy Committee. I need your support. You know, it's important to me to have people around me that can remind me that I can do this. Yesterday I had a wedding, and I phoned Sally Frith, who has been a member of this committee for a long time. And I said, I don't think I can do it. You know, I'm not prepared. I don't know. I'm very nervous about this. And she goes, oh, you can do it. You'll be fine. You've got this down. It's not a problem. Oh, I forgot. It's important to have people around that can remind us. And in ceremonies of transition that we do as lay chaplains, we have a memory that people can return to when they forget as well. So I invite you to have a conversation with me. Maybe there's a thought that goes, oh, I couldn't do that. Well, the only reason you're having that thought is because there's another one underneath it that says, oh, maybe, maybe. At this time, Sally, I didn't even see you there, and now you're here. At this time, I'd also like you to come up here. We don't often enough celebrate our volunteers here at Beacon. This card for you. This card is from the current Lay Chaplaincy Committee, thanking you, Sally, for all of your support, for all of your work, for the truth that you told to us, for your willingness to be there, and for sharing all the wisdom that you have learned through the struggles in your life that I value tremendously. Thank you so much for your work on the Lay Chaplaincy Committee. And you are now blessedly retired from that position. Thank you so much. If Joy will come forward and she will give us the blessing and extinguish the chalice.
Thank you, Sue. Indeed, it is the most wonderful, rewarding spiritual experience to be a lay chaplain. And I think that all of us enter it with a lot of trepidation and find out that we have a whole community across Canada of support and models, and it is deeply, deeply enriching for anyone. I would recommend it to anyone here. And so please take up Sue's invitation. Benediction words. Whatever our intent is for our transition, to transcend, to forgive, to learn and to grow, let's keep our intention in the forefront of our hearts as we come together to support and bless each other and send our best wishes and thoughts to one another. Let's include the unspoken transition of our neighbors in this room, your friends and your family. Let's include the intentions of everybody in this sacred space, this holy space, that we may all find what we're looking for on the other side of change. We will now extinguish this chalice with the words, may your life be blessed. May you be able to live each moment with hopeful expectation. And may it feel like an everlasting stream of abundance going through you, yet taking you along to new and wonderful places of peace. Peace be with you always. So be it.